Kaya Biz with Kugulethu Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
Well, we can't ignore what's been taking place, right, with our neighboring country being Eswatini. The kingdom of Eswatini, which has been ravaged by unrest from many citizens who have been calling for a change in the leadership of the country, primarily sharing levels of disgruntlement and unhappiness in essentially how the monarch, the king of the kingdom of Eswatini, has been running the country. But of course, this has led to protest action, unrest and instability, which has waned on business confidence and raised increased concerns about a potential humanitarian crisis we might see right next door. To help us unpack the situation in Eswatini and, of course, the economic ramifications of this, we join on the line by Ndate Victor Khomeswana. He's an Afro-optimist, media commentator, columnist, speaker and author of the books Africa is Open for Business and Africa Bounces Back. Pravik, always good to touch base with you, sir.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you so much for making time. Where do we start with the kingdom of Eswatini?
Well, we have to start with the fact that, you know, there's a leader from Guinea-Bissau and Cape Verde called Amilcar Cabral. And in writing to his comrades at one stage, he said, comrades, remember that when people follow your political organizations and when they follow your movements with enthusiasm, they are not doing it because they believe in the stuff you theorize about. Mm-hmm. They follow you as political leaders because they want a better life for themselves and their children. And he's famous for the quote, tell no lies, claim no easy victory. So when you look at a monarchy like the Kingdom of Eswatini, which is part of African culture in a way, although it's got elements of British domination and what, you know that this is culture, this is part of our heritage. But it does not matter how loyal you are to your king, and His Majesty has his loyal subjects. I've been there many times, I've been to some of the royal events, and I've seen how loyal his subjects are. Mm-hmm. But in the end, if the lives of the people of Eswatini are getting worse every day, especially with the deterioration that was aggravated by the COVID outbreak, you are going to see things like this. It's not the first time a popular uprising is happening or threatening to happen in Eswatini. People have been trying to ask for a balance between the monarchy, which recognizes traditional leadership, which is hereditary, and some constitutionality and democratic rule. So I think somehow it's a failure of the rulers of Eswatini to strike that balance, but something that could have been aggravated by the economic catastrophe due to COVID-19. Things like that often lend momentum to popular uprising because discontent gets more serious when people are hungry.
And you're quite right, right? When people are hungry, that's again a battle of politics of the stomach and concerns that often get raised there. But I'm keen to unpack where disgruntlement is not necessarily something new that we've witnessed, even in South Africa and many other areas across the continent. We've seen similar activities take place and are aware of how they need to be managed or monitored in order to ensure that we have a favorable outcome. What are some of the potential solutions that we need to be cognizant of that can be implemented in the Kingdom of Eswatini?
I like to simplify things. You know, to me, answers to very complex or seemingly complex problems are very simple. And then that's why I'm saying, Albert Einstein said, an empty stomach is not a good political advisor. Mm-hmm. There's no way we are going to have a lasting solution in Eswatini, the kingdom, without the monarchy addressing that which makes the people go on to the streets in the first place. They're not asking for anything unreasonable, except for the removal of the monarchy, whatever. But they are, I don't even think that was at the heart of it. The essence of it is that the quality of life in Eswatini is not getting better. And if it's not getting better, and people know just how much economic interest His Majesty is reported to be having, how much wealth he has, and when they are able to read in the papers, remember, social media now make it very easy for an average person to know what is happening. Yes. So there's a video that's doing round calling him the richest monarch or something like that, and they line up the cars that he has. Cars that you wonder, what are all these luxuries, super luxury cars for, when you go into Eswatini and the unemployment rate could be what it is? So it's very simple. Balance your monarchy and your tradition with the material needs of the people that you are calling your subject. That way you make a name for yourself as a caring leader, because they say people don't care how much you know or how much you have until they know how much you care.
And that's the important part, right? The care. But before we get there, I'm also keen to understand how or what the economic ramifications of this unrest might be, especially in a world where economies are trying to recover from the spate of the lockdown as well as recent pandemic.
Tourism. Tourism is always going to be the first victim. I've been going to the Kingdom of Eswatini since 2014. I've gone there at least once every year, and most times I've gone two or three times in 1 year since 2014. And it was business tourism mainly. Sometimes it was just going on holiday, because that's a beautiful country with a lot of rich culture and exciting, very peaceful people. Some of the nicest people on earth you will find in the Kingdom of Eswatini. Very friendly, very humorous in their own right. The language is Swati. It's just one of the most beautiful languages to listen to. Mm-hmm. But the land has so much to offer. But also remember, it has a rich history. So when you tour Eswatini, you are going on a tour of memories, because people like President Zuma, it's Pio Nyanda, most of the people who went into Mozambique, even Vusuma Vimbela, people who went into exile via into Mozambique went through Eswatini. There's Elias Masilela here, as you know him, his mother, they was called Umagogo, where the most of the resistance movement, people would go to his house, number 43, Trelawney Park. Mm-hmm. That's a serious tourism that's going to take a knock, because even as COVID was slowing us down in travel, when you are seeing an uprising, I can tell you for sure, I for one was supposed to go there for something on the 5th of November involving the school principals. And I didn't have to ask the organizers. I knew it's not going to happen. So tourism is such an important aspect, is going to suffer. But also the stability of countries that share a border with Eswatini, one of them being Mozambique, the other being South Africa.
Yes.
The stability in those countries, when people have instability in the country, the frontier areas, the border areas around there get affected. The border gates get destabilized. People start moving and displaced, and you can tell. But and of course, the telecommunications.
Mm.
Breaking telecommunications in the fourth industrial revolution, where ICT is such an important thing. He's just giving Eswatini a bad name as an investment destination, because people are thinking, what else is he going to interfere in? But also, who else in the Southern African region is going to interfere in investment decisions if we were to make such a decision? At this point, remember, January 2020, we had the promulgation of the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. This is the time when we should be opening borders,
yes,
creating uniform regions, creating a common SADC tourism market. I was chairing a session today about creating a common tourism market in SADC. Eswatini is a member of SADC, and that means it is disrupting a whole lot of recovery, especially post-COVID.
Clearly, that means that it will further derail its economic recovery then.
We are. You can't afford. An economy is like an ecosystem. In fact, not it is like. It is an ecosystem. So when you disturb your leg, it might not be you're touching your arm or your ear, but because your body is one ecosystem, it's going to somehow be affected. Tourism is about experience in a region. Eswatini is a small country, geographically speaking. So what happens there is a disruption, but it affects KZN, it affects Mozambique, it affects South Africa, especially Mpumalanga, and it affects a whole lot of other sectors. Remember, there are new hotels there. I think they just built an international conference center. So they would have been lobbying to host international conferences, and a single week of disruption like that can change decisions. Like, imagine if they were waiting to host the netball tournament, or they were trying to bid to host they will now, decision makers will say, wait a minute, let's find a backup plan. In fact, forget it, let's drop them. We'll come back to them in 4 years' time when they're stabilized. A decision like that can sink economy.
Pravik, we remain concerned, but certainly hope that the various envoys that have been deployed to Eswatini to help stem the unrest will reach a favorable outcome. But it's more than that, as you say. It really does call for a change in the delivery of services for the people of Eswatini to ensure that it does become a vibrant economy that eradicates the levels of poverty, inequality and unemployment within that particular nation. Thank you so much for your time, as always, Pravik. Really appreciate the insight you've shared with us, helping us unpack the economic ramifications indications of the unrest that we see taking place in the kingdom of Eswatini. That's Ndate Victor Gomeswana, who's an Afro-optimist media commentator, columnist, speaker, and the author of the books Africa is Open for Business and Africa Bounces Back.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
On the streets, on the air.